Hello again. This is the old. Good morning, man. Kermit Edney with program number 82 in a 260-part series dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the 50-year history of WHKP. Follows the format used by Frank L. Fitzsimmons in his 25-year-long series that covered the early years, so we call it simply Where Fitz Left Off. Today, more memories of the city and county prior to August 5th, 1955. No one living today remembers when Henderson County had legal distilleries operating here. My great-grandpa Samuel King operated one on the old Chimney Rock Road just this side of Pace Road. And I'll not deal at all with what we'll just call family distilleries. It was in 1903 that the state of North Carolina first passed any law regulating the sale or manufacture of alcohol. The law was referred to as Chapter 233 of the public laws of that session and basically is what we call today the local option law. It provided that local governments had the right to determine for their own area whether or not whiskey would be made and or sold. In a matter of just a few months after the law was passed, a petition signed by one-third of Hendersonville's voters asked for a vote on whether to outlaw the manufacture of whiskey, to ban bar rooms and saloons, and whether dispensaries should be established, such as drug stores, which would be permitted to sell liquor, quote, on prescription. 30 days later, out went the manufacture and sale of whiskey in bar rooms and saloons. But it did permit drug stores to sell liquor on prescription. Now, Frank Waldrop was a young man in his early 20s when that law was passed. Frank Waldrop had a nickname, Bully, although he was no bully, but one of the most elegant gentlemen of his generation. Frank recalled that after the election, it was the fashionable thing for men to do, to stop in at their favorite drugstore and partake of a restorative before going on to work. The law did not provide for any oversight mechanism, so the druggists could be as generous in the sale of booze as their quest for profits would dictate. Frank Waldrop used to laugh and say, the busiest part of the drugstore was back in the prescription department, where throughout the day, the druggists could quench the thirsts of those willing to pay. Well, that election was in 1903, and it got so bad 9 years later in 1912, the city council passed an ordinance directing the chief of police to give to the newspapers the names of those who had purchased liquor on prescription during the preceding month. That slowed the sale a bit. But prior to August 5, 1955, there was no law regulating the sale of beer and wine. And beer joints begat more beer joints, which begat more beer joints. In fact, all of those many so-called eating places in town that I mentioned to you on Monday, out of all those, only five did not sell beer. Most of the places were short-order cafes selling mainly hot dogs and hamburgers, and there were several that elected to install a pool hall. Hendersonville didn't have any serious zoning ordinance back then, and if you wanted to put in pool tables, you just bought them and put them in. Many of the other so-called eateries installed pinball machines. Slot machines were illegal, but with the same logic now used with the Indian reservation gambling, pinball machines supposedly required skill and therefore were legal. In the early days, the machines would actually dispense coins if you won, and then later, to stay within the law, the machines would only flash on the screen the number of games you'd won, and the owners could then slip cash to you under the counter. In the late 30s and 40s, punch boards came on the scene. At first, the winner would only receive merchandise, plush teddy bear or a box of candy. And then the smarter operators began paying off in cash. Nobody saw anything wrong with this innocent sport. And then next came baseball tip boards. Most of the boards had a 20% markup for the operator. You had 120 tips on a board, and if tips sold for a dime, you'd take in $12 and pay out 10. And tip boards were available from a nickel to a quarter weekdays. On weekends, they'd add 50-cent and dollar boards. And by the war years, the tip boards proliferated all over town. It was no hidden vice or crime. The boards actually lay on the counter. Put up your money and help yourself. And many of these places also began selling wine by the cup. A standard Dixie cup was 10 cents, a large Dixie cup, 15 cents. Now, these were not fermented wines. They were fortified with such brands as Old Maud, the wine with a kick. Tomorrow, the baseball ticker machine and the pooling of tickets to guarantee a win, if only a split. These memories from the seventh child of a seventh child, lucky enough to have been born here, the good sense never to leave him with a job he's loved all of his life. Sorsum corda as we approach the next 50 years.